President Trump did not attend Saturday night's White House Correspondents' Dinner. For the second consecutive year, he held a campaign rally outside the Beltway. He was in Michigan. In his absence, comedian Michelle Wolf gave a 20-minute monologue that took aim at the president, Vice President Mike Pence, Ivanka Trump, and White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Here she is making light of President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen. Adult film star Stormy Daniels is currently embroiled in a lawsuit against them, seeking to get out of an agreement to stay quiet about her alleged affair with the president.
It's 2018 and I am a woman, so you cannot shut me up. Unless you have Michael Cohen wire me $130,000.
Numerous journalists and conservative commentators expressed disapproval about the sentiment that flowed out of this dinner, and we're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Jane Kirtley is a professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota's School of Journalism and Mass Communication. She's also the director of the Scylla Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law. Jane, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. Good morning.
Well, explain for us what this dinner is.
Well, this is a dinner that has been going on for quite a number of years. The White House Correspondents Association, as you would expect, is a group of accredited journalists that are accredited to cover the White House. It's quite large. And it's evolved over the years from basically being a formal dinner where the president and other top-level officials typically attend as guests of honor, into what's often referred to as the nerd prom. That is, it has taken on a spectacular nature where many companies compete to bring the most star-studded guests to the meal. I think what was critical about what happened at the dinner the other night is that, as has been the case in the last few years, the Correspondents Association invited a comedian to basically do a stand-up routine during the dinner, and they were dismayed by the tact that she took. And so, as you suggested, there was outrage both from supporters of the president who thought that her attacks on particularly the press secretary and others were over the top. And yet there are others who are saying that she was doing exactly what comedians and satirists are supposed to be doing. So it does call into question exactly what the point of a dinner like this is, if it's supposed to be conciliatory and celebratory, which is what the current president said about it after the fact. Then perhaps, as was suggested by one late-night comedian, maybe they ought to just have a juggler instead of a comedian at this event, because you can't do satire of political figures with a light touch and be successful.
We'll get to Michelle Wolf's commentary in monologue in just a moment, but has the format stayed pretty much the same over the years? Has it always been a roast, or did that evolve? Has it always been rather audacious, walking a fine line in what is actually funny?
Well, I think what we've seen in probably most recent history, and this is not all that recent, Stephen Colbert was the guest or the talent one evening and went after President Bush in some detail. And there have been others who have attacked the Clintons and even President Obama. And again, I use the word attack advisedly because, again, they're comedians. They're supposed to be satirical. But, I think that the White House Correspondents Association dinner has really changed over the years. I lived in Washington for 18 years, and I remember in the early days it was really a rather stuffy dinner. And then I guess as new leadership came in, it turned into this thing that, again, became sort of a celebrity event, and one where what was seen as really important was to have the president there, have him on the hot seat, and have a comedian that was going to be skewering him. Some would say it was basically a subliminal message to the president about things that the White House correspondents themselves might want to say, but of course never would for fear of harming their access to the White House.
Well, one of the most notable differences between last year's dinner and this year's was that several members of the Trump administration did show up, including Press Secretary Sarah Sanders and counselor to the president Kellyanne Conway. Last year, none of the staff attended the event. Was that a shift for you? Was that remarkable in some way?
Well, I mean, I hate to say it quite this way, but I will say it. I mean, the Trump presidency has been remarkable in many ways. I think in previous administrations, whether Republican or Democratic, there's been an understanding that this is part of the game of being president and having an administration and having officials with whom the White House Correspondents Association and its members interact. And part of the idea, at least according to the association, is to have a sort of celebration of freedom of the press and the robust debate we have in our society. So it was very unusual for basically no one from the Trump administration to show up last year. I find it interesting that the president would send two female members of his staff to this event. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about the significance of that. Of course, there were others there as well. But the suggestion was that perhaps he was thinking that they would go more gently with women than they would with male members of his staff. I don't know, but it was unusual in the sense that last year he didn't really send anybody. This year, of course, he didn't go himself, but he did send some high-level members of his staff.
We're talking with Jane Kirtley, a professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota's School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Kind of going for a recap here, an analysis on the correspondents' dinner that was held last Saturday night. The fallout from that dinner, as comedian Michelle Wolf took some very hard jabs at the president and the president's staff. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you watch the correspondents' dinner? Did you think Michelle Wolf's jokes went too far? Or are people being too sensitive about it? Did this year's dinner change the way you feel about the media at all? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. There is a lively discussion on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Doug says, the entire point of the dinner is to show unity amongst the media and the White House. I'm a huge fan of Michelle Wolf, Doug says, but would she have been my choice for this event? No. Either somebody didn't vet her well or they were trying to make a point. Either way, I don't think her sketch was appropriate. How would you respond there to Doug saying that Michelle Wolf did cross the line in what she said in her monologue?
Well, I think it is a fair question about what this dinner is really supposed to be about. If it is supposed to be a love fest, then I would agree Michelle Wolf was not the right choice for the dinner. But if it's really supposed to engage with the issues and challenge and speak truth to power, sometimes in an outrageous way, then I think in that sense she achieved what she was supposed to achieve. Some people found it offensive, I'm sure. But, you know, we're dealing with an administration that traffics in outrageous speech itself. And there would be an argument that would say, this is fighting fire with fire. Others would say, you know, you're going low, you're lowering yourself, you should be loftier. It's a tough call, but I think the biggest problem is that the association itself hasn't quite figured out what it wants this event to be in the Trump administration. And it's that uncertainty that I think makes it possible to criticize them for going too far and also not far enough.
Well, as we said earlier, you mentioned President Trump was in Michigan at a campaign rally, and he made it very clear to the crowd that he was not happy about it. He told the crowd that journalists hate your guts, said the media fabricates sources, took other shots. Can you explain the disconnect between the president's attitude toward this White House Correspondents' Dinner and what other presidents have kind of, posed with this dinner? It seemed like President Obama really warmed up to this dinner at the end. He had his own skit.
He did. And, you know, again, and he's not the only one. And even some of the, there have been occasions when both Bush presidents attended this event and took it in good humor. I think the key is that, you know, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. You have to be able to take yourself not too seriously. And I have to say that my perception of President Trump is that he's very good at poking fun at other people and making outrageous statements about other people. But he's extremely thin-skinned when he's being attacked himself. So you know, I think we've got a disconnect here between what this event has been in the past and the way the current president regards it. You know, not unusual with this administration. He's been blowing up norms as long as he's been in office. This may not be the most important example of this, but I do think it underscores the fact that the president is not quite on board with the role of a free press in society in the way that his predecessors have been.
Some reporters over the weekend said it went as far as to suggest the correspondence dinner should not exist in its current format. The president of the association said in a statement, Michelle Wolf's monologue was not in the spirit of the organization's mission. We're talking about the fallout here on the morning show. University of Minnesota media ethics and law professor Jane Kirtley is with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the correspondence dinner should change or stop happening altogether? Is it dead, as the president suggests? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back after a news update. Celebrities and a number of other journalists have defended comedian Michelle Wolf. They argue that she did what she was hired to do at the correspondence dinner, that is, to roast the current administration. And she did that for 20 minutes on Saturday. Here she is targeting White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I actually really like Sarah. I think she's very resourceful. Like, she burns facts and then she uses that ash to create a perfect smoky eye.
Now, Wolf defended the joke on Twitter, saying, "Why are you guys making this about Sarah's looks? I said she burns facts and uses the ash to create a perfect smoky eye. I complimented her eye makeup and her ingenuity of materials," end quote. We're talking about whether comedy crossed the line here on The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Cheer-Kent. Jane Kirtley stays with us. She's a media ethics and law professor at the University of Minnesota's School of Journalism and Mass Communication. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you watch the correspondence dinner? Did you think Michelle Wolf's jokes went too far, or are people just being too sensitive? Did this year's dinner change the way you feel about the media? You can call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Sean waiting in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Sean.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure.
So, you know, I guess everybody's all up in arms about this, and I can't really understand why, because the jokes that she made are pretty well-founded in their justification and the fact that what she said was true. I mean, not maybe everything, but there is a pretty solid amount of speculation that what she did say was true. So, you know, if you're going to get all upset about what is being said about you, maybe change your behavior and change your persona and change that perception that people have, if that's what you want to do, as opposed to just, you know, lashing back out. I thought it was a great little skit, and people really need to calm down a little bit.
People need to calm down a little bit. Jane Kirtley?
Well, I agree. I have to say that initially when I was watching it, I was a little surprised at how kind of over the top she was. But at you know, the bottom line is this: she was hired to be satirical, to make fun of the administration, and I think the fact that people are reacting the way they did it shows that she hit the mark. That's what she was hired to do. If everybody doesn't want to engage in that kind of an exercise, then maybe they do need to rethink at least the entertainment at this particular event.
But she also made fun of a number of other folks, including Democrats and the media. So is this reaction to her routine perhaps overblown, as Sean is indicating?
Well, I think it is, and you're right to point out that by no means was the administration the only target of her attacks. And she did make some important comments about the press and its kind of symbiotic relationship with the Trump administration, and basically accused the press of essentially exploiting and making money off of Trump's outrageousness. I'm sure that made some people in the room uncomfortable, but I can't say that that is an unfounded criticism of the press. As you said, she attacked Democrats, too, and other Republicans. I mean, again, she was an equal opportunity attacker here, and I think it's just that, again, the focus is, as probably and understandably would be, on the specific barbs she aimed at the Trump administration members that were there.
Kelsey on Facebook says, I thought her jokes were pointed, accurate, and hilarious. She's just telling it like it is. Let's go to Gary now, who is waiting in Merrill. Hi, Gary.
Yes, good morning. I didn't think her jokes were funny. The laughter, the so-called laughter, I think was more embarrassment of the audience. And I'm kind of delighted by it because it gives people out here and people like me a lot to talk about with what I would say is the perversion of entertainment, entertainment that would give us shows like Family Guy. And I think this could backfire just like the presidential election this fall. People could turn their backs on this leftist ideology and vote in more Republicans.
Gary, thank you so much for the comment. And you bring up something, a point of that's really interesting as well, is that if someone in the audience was laughing along with the joke, that too could show where they stand politically, in effect.
I suppose that is possible. I certainly can't rule it out as a possibility. And I do think there was uncomfortable laughter in the room. One of the commentaries I read out of the New York Times suggested that oftentimes when comedians do routines like this, they're not really paying to the people in the room because there are all kinds of dynamics that are going on there that they're playing to a wider audience. If, you know, the caller's point, you know, is an accurate one, then I'm sure that there were people out in, you know, outside of the Beltway who were watching this, and some of them probably saw it as an attack on an administration that they admire and support. But to be honest, I find it difficult to believe that this is going to change anybody's mind about the upcoming elections. I suspect if you're a Trump supporter, the likelihood is you found this offensive. If you're not a Trump supporter, you may not have. I can't think in the scheme of things that this is going to be a game changer for the upcoming elections. Some people will see it as indicative of sort of a mass bias on the part of the news media. But again, if what we're talking about is a comedian that is hired to be satirical and to speak truth to power, then the question is there an element of truth here? And to me, there clearly was.
Let's go to Paul now, joining us from Heartland with thoughts. Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I just want to comment on the double standard. There's a lot of mean things said by Trump and backed up by the people who follow him, especially those in his administration. And when, you know, people on the other side, the media, especially who's been the target of a lot of Trump's attacks, I think when the media fights back and they get all up in arms about it, I think that it, you know, it's a double standard. Now, yeah, I think maybe sometimes they, in some of the things she did go a little bit too far. I thought it was kind of funny. That's just because I'm biased. But I think there's a double standard, and I don't think that, we should really pander to the other side's feelings that much.
Paul, thanks for the comment. And Jane Curtley, is there a double standard here?
Well, I do think that the caller has a very good point there because, again, Trump is outrageous. He makes, you know, part of what he does is he goes out and attacks people, sometimes people that are, you know, much less powerful than he and his administration are. He was pretty outrageous at that rally in Michigan and was attacking a lot of different people. You know, where is the outrage for that? Again, the difficulty is that we're trying to suggest that, you know, the news media are supposed to try to bring independence to this, not to necessarily have a bias one way or the other. But, you know, this is comedy. This is something that I think is intended, again, to speak truth to power and to reveal truths that maybe we can't say in our routine kind of reporting. And if you're uncomfortable with that, then I think the question you have to ask yourself is, are these unfair attacks? Are these unfair lampoons? Or are they accurate? And if you're made uncomfortable by them, then maybe you really need to be looking at what the administration is doing, because that may be at the root of your problem.
We're taking some analysis here on the White House Correspondents' Dinner, a few days out now, with Jane Curtley. She is professor at University of Minnesota, where she directs the Scylla Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law. Gathering your insights as well on this dinner, 800-642-1234. Did you think Michelle Wolf's jokes went too far, or are people being too sensitive? Did the comedy cross a line for you? You can call in at 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jane Kirtley, let's talk a little bit about journalism. Some critics have said that Michelle Wolf's performance was damaging to journalism, but Wolf herself isn't a journalist, so how could a comedian's performance impact or harm the profession?
Well, I don't think it can unless you buy into the notion that the news media, whoever they are, collectively, is so hopelessly biased against the current administration that this is just another manifestation of that. Again, earlier I made the comment that in some respects a comedian like this can say things that journalists could not say, at least not journalists that are reporters as compared to pundits and commentators. And if you believe that that's the case, then you're saying, well, okay, you've revealed who you really are. Thanks for pointing out that you hate the president or whatever the particular meme might be. But again, I think it's really important to point out that the history of this dinner and the history of the way this association interacts with the administration has, in my view, very little to do with journalism as such in terms of the ongoing coverage of a particular administration. It's supposed to be about coming together, regardless of what kind of adversarial relationship the press and the current administration has, and basically celebrating the notion of a free press and the important role that it plays in society. I don't think that the president, the current president of the United States, fully appreciates that. And so to the extent that we're kind of at loggerheads in this situation, I think in that sense, this dinner, the premise of it doesn't really work because you don't have an administration that fundamentally believes that however painful it might be when the press is reporting what you're doing in an aggressive way, they're just doing their jobs.
Let's go to Troy now, joining us from Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. I find it like so interesting that we have a president that makes fun of somebody with disabilities in a serious content, and then everyone, all the supporters, they kind of laugh it off, like, oh, he's going a little too far, but you know. And then we get a comedian that does it in the proper context, in the proper venue, and all of a sudden the Trump supporters get all up in arms. And I do want to point this out. That just reminds me of like why I feel this administration is such a cult. And that people look at anything that is negative towards our president as an attack on like a cult leader, and it doesn't matter what it is, because this man, and then that like conservative caller that just called in, he used the word perverse, and it's like, really, when's the last time you heard the comments that are coming from our president?
So Troy is also pointing out that there is this double standard. The sort of unofficial tagline that, Jane, you mentioned, the Correspondents' Dinner, is a celebration of the First Amendment rights of freedom of speech, freedom of the press. But the morning after the event, Margaret Taleb, who's the president of the White House Correspondents' Association, she said that Michelle Wolf's routine, quote, made me uncomfortable and did not embody the spirit of the night. So what was the spirit of the night, if not embracing freedom of speech, however perhaps controversial that speech might be?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The White House Correspondents Association has to walk a very delicate line. They're there, supposedly, to advance the interests of their members, to make sure that they have access to the administration and so forth. In the current administration, there have been a few times when they have issued statements criticizing the administration for attacks on particular reporters and on the institution of the press itself. And yet this is supposed to be this kind of love fest where everybody comes together and says, oh, but the First Amendment is really great. It's the benchmark of our society and so forth. My problem is I personally don't think that this administration actually believes that. So you're starting from a premise that the two parties involved don't really agree on the fundamental premise. That's a huge difference from previous administrations. Not to say that there haven't been rocky relationships before. Of course there have. But there have been very few, no presidents really in my memory, with the possible exception of Richard Nixon, who so overtly attacked the press as an institution, called it the enemy of the American people. I mean, this is rhetoric that goes way beyond what has been normal in the past. So to try to shoehorn that administration into this dinner, I think it's not going to fit. It's as simple as that.
Paul in Eau Claire emailed and said, listening to Michelle Wolf's monologue, it sounded like even the audience didn't think it was that good. Was she trying but failing to preach to the choir? Tom on Facebook says, I felt that she wasn't funny, and rather than the good humor of a roast atmosphere, her jokes were spitefully targeted. I don't like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Tom says, but the comments Wolf made were not appropriate to the situation. So Margaret Tulove also indicated in an email she sent to members of the White House Correspondents Association that the protocol of the dinner is open to being changed in the future. Jane Curtley, how do you think it might change?
Well, I think the first thing that is most likely to happen is that the Correspondents Association will not have an edgy comedian at the next dinner. And this is something that has happened before, where they've backed off from previous comedians that they thought were a little too close to the bone or offensive, depending upon how you define it. So I would say that's probably the first thing that's going to happen. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if the Correspondents Association membership itself is quite divided on this, because I do think that there's a fair amount of frustration on the part of many of the members about the attitude the White House has towards the press corps, the way they treat it, the way, frankly, Sarah Huckabee Sanders treats the press corps. And I personally don't think that the comment about her eyeshadow was an inappropriate one. I thought it was a rather clever setup, and it wasn't really about her appearance. It was more about the notion that Sarah Huckabee Sanders sometimes does not tell the truth entirely. That's a word like telling the truth and lies and so forth is something that the news media really doesn't like to do very much, because it's just a flat-out accusation that the president or his administration is lying. Anyway, my point is that all of this is kind of a new era, and it would not surprise me if there's a change in at least that approach in terms of trying to have this as a roast. Plus, of course, let's face it, if President Trump continues not to come, that kind of undermines the entire point of this event. It's supposed to be talking about the President of the United States, not his subordinates, not the members of his staff.
President Trump wrote on Twitter yesterday that the White House Correspondents' Dinner is dead as we know it. He went on to say that fake news is alive and well. We're talking about whether this gala, this dinner, went too far in criticizing the Trump administration here on The Morning Show. University of Minnesota professor Jane Curtley is our guide. She directs the Silla Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law at the University of Minnesota. Gathering your insights on the dinner, what did you see in Michelle Wolf's monologue? 800-642-1234. Do you think Michelle Wolf's jokes went too far, or are people being too sensitive about this? Did this year's dinner change the way you feel about the media at all? Did the comedy cross the line for you? You can call in 800-642-1234, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation, perhaps hear from you, right after news headlines here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. In a series of tweets, President Trump announced that the White House Correspondents' Dinner is dead and called for the gala to be scrapped or reinvented going forward. He added to the widespread criticism that the comedy sketch at Saturday night's annual event crossed a line with personal attacks on members of the president's senior leadership. Here is White House Correspondents Association President Margaret Taleb speaking at Saturday's gala. Taleb later said that Michelle Wolf's performance didn't reflect the spirit of the night nor the mission to unite.
But we reject efforts by anyone, especially our elected leaders, to paint journalism as un-American, to undermine trust between reporter and reader.
We're getting reaction and analysis here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. University of Minnesota Media and Law Professor Jane Kirtley is our guide. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the correspondence dinner is dead? Should it change or stop happening? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go back to the phones now. Catherine is waiting in Random Lake. Hi, Catherine.
Good morning. I was wondering how much this had, if her, the criticism of her had more to do with her gender than her jokes.
Great question, Catherine. Jane Kirtley, insights there. Her gender.
I think that's a great question. I have read commentary that has suggested that President Trump and his supporters tend to compartmentalize the genders, that women have one role and men have another. I'm not a gender studies person. I'm not in a position to analyze that, but I have to think that there are people who find outrageousness being uttered by a woman more difficult to tolerate than if it's a man doing it. So I think that that's an absolutely fair question. I don't know the answer, but I have to think that it does have something to do with where all this criticism is coming from.
Catherine, may I get your reaction to the monologue? What did you think of the dinner?
I thought it was humorous. I'm going to go listen to the whole thing. I've only heard part of it.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. And Jane Kirtley, I'm wondering, you've studied journalism, of course, in other countries, how the role of media. Are there equivalent dinners like this in other countries?
You know, it's very unusual. I think we would see it more commonly in sort of the countries that come from the English common law tradition, like the United Kingdom, for example, Canada, places like that. In countries that have a more Roman law kind of approach, there tends to be a greater respect for the notion of dignity, and this kind of attack really wouldn't be taken in good spirit or as an appropriate thing for people to be doing. And, of course, in more autocratic countries, it would be completely impossible. This kind of satire is driven underground, and it's not something that could ever be performed publicly without serious consequences.
But perhaps in a democracy, it can show the strength of a democracy?
You bet. I mean, I think that the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized this 30 years ago in the Hustler magazine versus Jerry Falwell case, where they talked about how the whole notion of satire is not to be even-handed. It's not to give the president a pat on the back. It's to engage in serious criticism with a veneer of humor. And oftentimes, of course, humor is a very effective way to make a point and can make sometimes very harsh criticism a little more palatable. That doesn't seem to be exactly what happened at the correspondence dinner, but I think that's ultimately the goal.
Yeah. And in what other country might you find a full-functioning The Onion doing quite well for itself?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, again, France is a country that does have a Roman law system and does have a long history of satirical magazines, and oftentimes they do very well. That's true in Italy as well. But again, there's a significant difference, which is that in countries like that, it is actually possible for powerful people to bring actions based on affronts to their dignity. We wouldn't even dream of such a thing in the United States because of the way the First Amendment has been interpreted.
Let's go to Randy now, joining us from Madison. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, folks. What you were just saying rang true for me, because I always feel this is the one night of the year that we can bring out the court jester. And it's not the jester that's hired by the president. I have very mixed feelings about this. I think it would be almost a hysterical overreaction to change the the whole nature or eliminate it altogether of the dinner. But I also find that political humor really isn't very funny. It's hilarious if you agree with it, but to be honest, it's usually doesn't do that. So it depends on its pointedness for that. And I think that there's some payback that's needed. When attacking, however, Sarah Sanders or Kellyanne Conway, that seemed to flirt a little bit with misogyny, too. And I guess I think I don't want to see the dinner become a payback for the kind of things that that Trump has dumped on them.
Well, but Randy, lots of thoughts there, Randy. Jane Curtley, go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, you kind of can't have it both ways. Ultimately, if this is going to be a dinner that is designed to take on the excesses of the administration, and if President Trump has chosen to put women into those positions of power and authority, then I think they are fair game. You know, Sarah Sanders has taken, tremendous attacks on individual journalists and on the media as a whole. She has stood up at press conferences and uttered untruths. And, you know, to suggest that she might be untouchable because she's a woman, I mean, that's insulting to her, in my opinion. It seems to me that if you're going to hold a position like that or the position that Kellyanne Conway holds, then you have to be prepared to take criticism. They certainly have been criticized in the past, and to me, the satirical attacks from the other night were just in keeping with, again, the very powerful positions that they hold.
Mike is joining us now from Madison. Mike, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. Go ahead.
I just think that, like, the most important part of her speech were the last words that she uttered. Michigan, Flint, Michigan, still does not have clean drinking water. And through everything else, all the barbs, all the jabs, all the whatever, Sarah Huckabee Sanders rolling her eyes, any of that, none of that matters to the fact that there are people in America who have lead in the water and who people have died. There are kids who are going to be growing up with neurological diseases because our government can't take care of its own people. And the fact that so many people are up in arms about, well, she called this person this name or she insulted this woman on her looks or whatever, none of that matters to the fact that we have a serious health risk to our people. And nobody is up in arms about that. And it's going on how long now?
Well, so Mike is saying she landed on a very heavy issue, heavy note. Jane?
She did. And, you know, again, I think that that is, as one of your other callers said, I mean, that's the role of the court jester oftentimes, to utter the things that other people don't feel comfortable saying out loud, but nevertheless are true and something that we should be thinking about and talking about and debating. You know, for me, the fundamental question is, what is it that the White House Correspondents Association really wants to be doing? If it's supposed to be, you know, kind of playing nice with the administration and cultivating people in the authority so that they can maintain their access, then I agree. What happened on Saturday night does not help them in that mission. But if what they're supposed to be doing is holding up a mirror to this administration and the people in it and pointing out the problems, whether it's something like Flint, Michigan, or whether it's just the administration's kind of challenging attitude about the truth, or it's outright attacks on the press and other institutions of our society, then I think what Michelle Wolf was trying to do was absolutely appropriate. Now, whether she did it in the best of all possible ways, we can certainly debate and discuss that. But I think to suggest that the premise that that's the role that she should play was not an appropriate one, yeah, if you're going to eliminate that, then you might as well eliminate this dinner.
So if the correspondence dinner is to continue, and by all appearances it is, what is the place of this event in an era of open and unprecedented animosity across the aisle between the media and the government? So much angst.
Well, you know, I again, having observed this dinner for many, many years, I have to say I personally have found it an uncomfortable event simply because it is based on this premise that we really all love each other, we really all can get along. And that honestly is not always true. What I think it is supposed to underscore is that the administration, however difficult its relationship with the press might be, fundamentally embraces the notion of the role of a free press in our society. The Trump administration has really not indicated that it buys into that. So if that's the case, and if basically you're trying to maintain access to an administration that is determined not to give it to you and to go around you and reach its supporters directly, then perhaps there really is no role for this dinner anymore. And as somebody suggested, if what they want to do is raise money for scholarships, why don't they just ask everybody for a contribution? However, having said that, I would be really sorry to see this go away simply because the president and his supporters have criticized it. That's not a good policy. If you've got issues, you want to change it. For other reasons, that's just fine. But let's hope that we're not in a situation in this country where because the president says he doesn't like something, you jettison an institution that's been in place for many, many years.
Well, Jean Kirtley, thank you so much for making time for us. We really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Jane Kirtley is a professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota's School of Journalism and Mass Communication. She also directs the Silla Center of Media Law and Ethics at the University of Minnesota. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy and Ideas Network Director Cheryl Gasser. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking about the most delicious cheeses in America with two cheese experts and looking at cheeses all across the U.S. that are in their prime right now. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation is coming to you on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.